Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Mazur on a reentry Monday, brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Again, all four on the table. Red Sox at the trade deadline, probably the fourth, distant fourth, but still on the table. That happened today. Celtics looking great. Who do you credit? Bruins just about done. Who do you blame? And, of course, Brady v. Belichick. More insight, more background. I just love it. I can't get enough. We're going to dig into it more coming up tomorrow. But I just want to follow up on, you know, what we just read. There's a couple things that stand out. One is that they still won at a high level in spite of all of it, which, I always tried to point out at the time, which is like, I believe all this stuff is real. I believe it's all going on. But I think to their enduring credit, they're so bleeping competitive that they're able to, in spite of it or maybe because of it or just some sort of weird dynamic there that – they're mother bleeping each other on a daily basis, and then they go out and win. And it's like, I don't know how many teams get away with that, but this one sure did. Because I think there was a long simmering thing there between Brady and Belichick. It was on both sides, and it was dysfunctional on the surface of it, and they still won at a high level, which is a neat trick.
Do you think it was dysfunctional on the field?
Not as, no, for sure not.
Like, so to me, that's what, like, as different as they were and are, on the field, they were similar.
At times, you saw some flare ups, though. I mean, the Brady screaming at Josh McDaniels in Buffalo thing—that was 2017, right?
I mean, at the end, it got untenable in a lot of ways.
But
right?
During those 3 hours on Sunday,
right? See, that's what I'm getting at.
During those 3 hours on Sunday, Bill would see something, he'd say it to Brady. Brady would take it, and they'd do it. You know, and they hated each other like poison.
I'd even be willing to bet the practices were okay. Like the actual football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? But all the other stuff, I'll forget it.
Okay, so that is, and the role of Giselle, you know, which we all sort of feared, her in his ear, her chirping at him. You look at how they're treating you. You shouldn't be treated like that. You're a star. You're too big for them. You know, who is Belichick? To, you know, the classic thing that we feared was true, to the point where the meeting at Kraft, Giselle stands in for Brady and does the talking.
I have something to say.
Oy vey, and he treats him like Johnny effing Foxborough.
Effing Johnny Foxborough.
Effing Johnny Foxborough. What a line.
The Bucs are going to win the Super Bowl with Johnny Foxborough playing quarterback.
Wow. That is great. And you know what? It's going to continue to this day with little veiled things underneath the surface that you previously heretofore thought we were just making up. Sorry. It all means a little something. And they're not, you know, Brady certainly doesn't have the balls to take his feelings public. You know, he's too diplomatic. Bill, you know, doesn't want to do it either. They're both pusses when it comes to this. They don't want to take each other on publicly, or they're not going to. They never will. And, you know, in 5 years when they're both in Canton wearing the yellow jacket, they're going to be hugging each other and grabbing each other's ass. It's going to be like, you know, they're never going to acknowledge any of this stuff. So you have to read between the lines. And, you know, Brady stuff with, I've never had an offensive coach before. Like, that's a little something, you know, underneath the surface. Today, Bill Belichick did a interview with Sirius, you said, Murray?
Yeah, Sirius XM NFL Radio. And as we all know at this point, Bill usually talks in clips, 10, 20 seconds tops, right? Enjoy 2 minutes and 17 seconds, nonstop.
I don't know if we can do the full 2:17, but give me an idea here.
On Cam Newton. Ready?
Go.
I can see why he had the kind of success that he had at Auburn and at Carolina and talking to people from that were with him there, the things that they said about him at Auburn and at Carolina from a decade ago or 2-3 years ago or even last year, it's all the same. And it showed up here. He's an extremely hard worker. Nobody works harder than Cam does. Hmm. He's here early, he stays late, and he works very hard. You know, some players like to work on things that they're good at, you know, like if you're strong on a bench press and you just keep throwing more weight on the bench. But Cam's the type of player that you know, works on things that he's not as good at. And
I'm just going to pause that.
Yeah,
there.
So nobody works harder than Cam. The in early, out late.
Hmm. Interesting.
Works on things that he's not good at. Huh.
Some guys just like to throw plates on the bench press.
All right, let's go on here.
Yeah, tighten up the bands.
Yeah, tighten.
Really tries to improve on a daily basis, and that's something that you know, I really respect about him. Like, that's not easy for, you know, for players, really any of us, to do is something, look at something that we're not very, we don't feel like we're very good at, or it's not one of our strengths, and to put extra time into it when, you know, that's a natural tendency, is to, you know, do things you're good at.
Putting in extra time, natural tendency is to just focus on what you're good at. Huh? Yeah, interesting timing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's curious.
Yeah.
And so yeah, he's worked extremely hard in all those areas. You know, he's got a great personality. He gets along with everybody.
He gets along with everybody. After my previous quarterback basically took a piss on anyone that wasn't his age or peer, which was basically nobody.
Yeah, right. Like the young, he doesn't dump on the young guys. Did he say that? Did he actually say he didn't dump on the young guys?
Let's go on.
Very social and has a great, you know, presence, whether it's in a small room of a couple people or, you know, in a bigger group. And he's highly competitive. He's very, very competitive on the field. He always wants to, you know, do his best and do better than the guys competing against. And you know, you see that from everybody's competitive, but I think there are different degrees of it. And, you know, it looks like I would, based on what I've seen, I would put him in the, you know, top echelon of that. But his competition extends way beyond the field. It's, you know, off the field and, you know, in meetings and, you know, training and so forth.
That Brady wouldn't show up at, you know, at the end. We stopped meeting for the last 2-3 years because the wife hated all of us like poison, wanted him out.
Well, Cam's committed. That's what he is. He's committed.
Well, I mean, you know, going on about Cam's competitiveness, because, you know, Brady is, I mean, certainly the ultimate competitor, right? Like, so Belichick's.
This is top echelon.
Oh, no, top echelon.
Like, no one I've ever seen.
Top echelon.
Yeah.
Well, let's not forget, he used that word. That
phrasing, yeah.
Top echelon.
Top echelon.
Meaning there is no higher than the top. That's why they call it the top. It's at the top.
22 seconds left here.
You know, it's important to him to be the first guy up the hill when we run sprints. And, you know, it's important to him to you know, to be first in everything that he competes in. And you can see the effort and the, you know, the amount of energy that he puts into that. So I'd say those are some of the things that have you know, jumped out, you know, in the month or so that we've been here, you know, in person.
And all that just jumped out here. Let me give you 2 minutes on my new cornerback.
Meanwhile, effort. Effort. Keyword, so, effort. Meanwhile, Brady leads you to your sixth Super Bowl. He plays with 25 sutures in his hand, leads 2 fourth-quarter touchdown drives to lead you back to another Super Bowl, and Belichick says what?
Not talking about open-heart surgery here.
Yeah. He went on. That's the longest longest answer Bill's given since they traded Garoppolo.
It really is.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah. Wasn't that like
6 minutes,
yeah.
Isn't it? It just goes to show you how much he loved Jimmy.
Otherwise, it's 20 seconds and it's snot rocket.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not open heart surgery.
I mean, I don't care if people don't accuse me of reading too much into that. I don't see how you can't. It's just about effort. And he shows up first up the hill.
How like, competitive he is.
Competitive upper echelon. Like it's
top, just, top echelon. Yeah. It's at top.
Oh, come on. This is one shot after another at the guy that just left.
I love it. Read the book. Why, folks, why are you still fighting it? Well, I don't. It really blows me away you still fight it. Tom Brady is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Well, what are you fighting anymore? You're like an old Japanese soldier in the jungles of Okinawa, so you still think World War II's going on? It's over. You lost. They didn't like each other. Brady wanted out. He's out. How do I know that's true? Because he's in Tampa. So just open your eyes. It's okay. It's okay. It's over. The fight's over. The war is over.
He wanted out 2 years ago.
He wanted out years ago.
2 years ago, he wanted out, and Kraft said no.
After they traded Garoppolo. So you know why I keep waiting. So this Benedict book, this is the latest tell-all on the Patriots dynasty and everything. As soon as I see, like, tell-all, inside access, special information, I immediately reach for the front top drawer of my desk at home where I have...
And you still have it?
Of course I still have it.
The Wells Report?
Of course.
Look at
highlighted.
That thing.
Look at it. I got all of it. Oh, make sure you blow up the ball to look like a rugby ball so Tom can get used to it before Sunday. OMG, says Jastrzemski. McNally says, F Tom, make sure the pump is attached to the needle. F and watermelon's coming, says McNally, talking about the size of the footballs. McNally says the only thing deflating, son, is going to be his passer rating. Oh, on and on. This is the best stuff. So every time I see an insider book, I'm like, are we finally going to get the real scoop? On, you know, because that's what you people promised me. You people said the whole thing was made up and wait till the real story comes out. So now we've had all these inside stories and it's interesting. Nothing new has come out about Deflategate. You know why? Do you know why? Because the real story's already been told. You know what that book is called? The Wells Report. It was right. It was right. They were doing it. He was cheating. They were deflating the balls. That's why there has been no new reporting on it, because there's nothing new to report. Wells had it right. Are you going to give up that one yet? Now since he's in Tampa, can you give it up? Can you see the light on that one? I'm still waiting for that inside report on what really happened, but something tells me we're not going to get it, because it turns out he didn't call himself the deflator because he was trying to lose weight. I think that one probably missed the mark. But I can't help but go there. I'll read from this as we go forward, too. There's a lot of good stuff still in here. All right, so there's that. When we come back, we'll take your calls on that. And Bruins done? Question mark? Sorry. Period. Bruins done. Who do you blame? To you right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Mesa. They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Mazur on a reentry Monday, brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Again, all four on the table. Red Sox at the trade deadline, probably the fourth, distant fourth, but still on the table. That happened today. Celtics looking great. Who do you credit? Bruins just about done. Who do you blame? And of course,
the Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit HouseOfPossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's HouseOfPossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is Hedman. He'll drill around to the near side. This one goes out at center ice. Brought in by Sorelli. Near circle to the high slot. They score. Palat again off of Halak's glove. And the Lightning with a 2-0 lead.
Well, the Bruins are completing a line change, getting out on the ice. They're all back. Halak just, this one's just, it looked like it just glanced off his glove. Sorelli over on the left wing side. Halak, or Palat wants it. He's got the stick cocked. He's ready to fire. Doesn't look like it deflects off anything. It just, he missed it.
So, I think the Bruins are done. And I think that's officially when it ended. Goal that made it 2-0. Backbreaking whiff by Yaroslav Halak to make it 2-0. And I actually think the Bruins had played okay on Saturday, much better than the 7-1 drubbing. And I actually think Halak was good. But that one was the backbreaker. And that's the one that they could not recover from and they will not recover from. And so that's that. That's that. They will play game 5 tonight. I'd be stunned if the Bruins pull it out. Stunned. I think they have no shot tonight, no shot in this series. What time's the game? Seven o'clock.
7 o'clock, yep.
Seven here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So Jimmy had scheduled the Bruins elimination party for tomorrow. I think it's today. I think it's now. I think they're done. And who do I blame? Who do you blame, Mass?
I mean, I go back to the goaltending situation. How about that?
You don't want to blame Tuukka?
Well, because again, I'll tell you why I'm resistant or reluctant. Because I don't know what the real problem is. Like, I, you know, to me, there's something going on in that house. And if it's something real, then I cut him some slack. So I don't know what the hell's going on there. But the fact that if he is not facing any greater challenge than any other guy in that team, I don't know how you don't blame Tuukka. I mean, you know, if his situation is akin to every other guy, why does he get to leave? And then leave them with Halak, who is just not playing up to snuff. I mean, that he's just been brutal. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying that every pocket of it has been bad, but I think it's demoralized the team. I do. I think that second goal, and it happened in the prior game, where goals start getting in that they don't think should get in, then all of a sudden you have a runaway train, and then now here you go, you're down 2-1, and you give up another bad goal in game 4. And I think they just kind of shrugged and said, pack up, let's go home. This isn't worth it. We don't have the guy in goal to make this happen. Let's go home.
If you really want to go bigger picture, how about Don Sweeney and going back to 2015 in that draft? Because if you watched on Saturday, did you like the 10 minutes they spent on Matthew Barzal? I think it was after the second period.
Yeah.
And have you watched any of this Islanders Flyer series, by the way? He's the best player on the ice at all times. So, I don't know, bigger picture, like the kid's a true impact player. And the Bruins have that, but they're all inconsistent. Like, Pastrnak sucked in this series. Krejci's been mostly a nothing after having an excellent series or the best Bruin in the prior series against Carolina. Like, I don't know, their best players are inconsistent. So you're missing a piece. You're certainly missing scoring. So I think if you want to go bigger picture, you missed out on Matthew Barzal, who you should have had in 2015.
I mean, that's a good one.
Well, so to me, what you're criticizing is, why aren't they the best team in the league? Because they're not. Tampa is. So for them to have matched Tampa's talent, they would have had to hit on those picks in 2015. They did not. They would have had to, what, along the way, plucked, you know, Braden Point in the third round like Tampa did. You know, so Tampa's done a better job building their roster. Tampa's better. Tampa's better. I mean, I mentioned earlier, they have the reigning Vezina winner. They have the reigning MVP. They have the Norris Trophy winner from 2 years ago, and those aren't even their best player, okay? So they have Vasilevsky, Kucherov, Hedman, and their best player is Braden Point. And that is a sickly talented team that when they put it together should beat everybody. So I'm not blaming them for losing to Tampa, but it should be closer than this. They shouldn't be getting blown out like they're getting blown out. So what happened there? And somewhere along the way, and I think to me the goalie thing's a good place to start. But it wasn't Rask leaving that sent them into the tailspin, because Rask left and they won four straight. So it's really what happened is that Halak has sprung some leaks here the last two, three games. And they're like what you sort of said. They sort of realize it ain't happening with this guy. So if Halak was playing well, I don't think they'd be sitting here bemoaning Tuukka Rask leaving. It would be galvanizing. It'd be something that they'd rally around and would actually give him a better chance. But I think they're looking at Halak saying he's not good enough.
I mean, he's given up one each game, basically. That makes you go, dear God.
I mean, what I see in them is resignation. That's what I see. Resignation. That's the word. And so I just think that they've sort of reached the point where they said, Yarrow's not playing well enough. This isn't going to work. Not against a team like Tampa. And so they were able to pull it off against Carolina. Fine. Like, even if Halak wasn't great, and in the first Carolina game, he wasn't great, they could at least look at it and say, we're better than these guys. They don't believe it with Tampa.
Well, because they're not. You know, they're not. And it's just, you know, so maybe the overall lesson is the Bruins aren't as good as you think. Or they aren't as good as you were told. I mean, the amount of times people want to fight me on Bergeron being the best overall player in the league. Like, what? Why is that so important to you? Why can't you just say he's one of the best and acknowledge there's some other guys who might be better? Like, oh, I don't know, Ryan O'Reilly for last year's Cup or Braden Point now? I mean, it's okay. He's very good. Hall of Famer. Love him. He's not the best player in the league. He's not the best player in this series by far. You know, I like Charlie McAvoy as a young defenseman. He can't hold Victor Hedman's jock right now. And Vasilevsky, Rask should have been even, you know, that was your shot, right? That was your shot. That Rask got hot, stole a game, put some pressure on Vasilevsky, and Vasilevsky would crack. And that's something he's done in the past. So that was like, that was your path. That was your path to victory. And without Rask, that's sort of been taken away from you. So you can't apply the pressure on Tampa that you need for them to crack, because they have shown the proclivity to crack in the past. But you got to get them to that point, and you can't even get them to that point. Because your goaltending's not good enough and your best players aren't as good as Tampa's. They're just not. So, like, maybe it's just sort of a realization of what your players are. Stop overrating them. They're really good, but they're not the best. That's just, I don't know. Tampa's got the best players in the league.
Yeah, there's some of that. But again, I'm focused on the gap. I feel like you're sort of letting them off the hook a little bit.
No, the gap is their fault.
They should not be getting their asses kicked like this. The last 21 goals in the series, Tampa scored 16 of them. Since the Bruins are up 3-0 in game one, 16-5 Tampa.
With the way Tampa's playing, though, I don't think they're winning the series with Rask either.
Me either. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's tied.
They've scored two goals in the last two games.
But again,
you can't win a game. He's not going to be pitching shutouts. He's not going to be winning these two games 1-0.
Yeah, I think that's all connected, though. I think your goalie makes a couple of big saves. All of a sudden, you know, you get a little life in your legs. Here you go. And you start going to the net. You start making shots. I just think all of it. I think it's all connected. You know, you fight through the contact. You fight through the adversity. Now they're not doing any of that. So, look, I'm not disputing the fact that they haven't scored. And if Pasternak doesn't hit the freaking net, what difference does it make? But I think that, you know, once you don't have the goaltending, your legs get cut out. You get demoralized.
Yeah, but it's looking, it might be the overrated thing, because Tampa's top line players are actually producing. It's guys like Point and Hedman, who's been maybe the best player for them now in this last couple of games.
Braden Point is toying with you.
Right.
He's toying with you like catnip.
So maybe the conversation shouldn't be they should have another cup. Maybe the conversation should be 2011 was the anomaly. That's kind of.
I mean, if Tim Thomas didn't get hot and play out of his boobs for 2 months, you are what you are, which is a really good team, a very good regular season team. Won some playoff rounds, went on a couple runs when things broke your way. I mean, remember, last year, Tampa and Washington got knocked out.
Couldn't have had it easier.
Everyone got knocked out. The other time you made the finals, you should have lost in the first round, but the team you're playing against gave up 3 goals in 8 minutes in the third period of Game 7. I mean, that wasn't exactly a clean, you know. So you got some breaks there for your other cup finals. I just think the final analysis is going to tell us it's a pretty good team. Very good team. Not a great team. Never was. Tough to swallow. For those of you who've been fed this thing about the greatness of all these players, I mean, they're very good. I just don't know they're great.
No, they're not great. I mean, they're not great, but they're better than this. They're better than this. That's the part that gets me agitated, is the give-in factor in the last two games. Too high. So, they're brittle right now. They're way too brittle.
It bums me out because I really do still like this team. I like them. I do. I hate... So one thing I hate is the Nick Ritchie thing, like how they've just hitched their wagon to this bum and seem to be going down with the ship with Nick Ritchie because they just feel this need to match some physicality that Pat Maroon or the Lightning have, which is just silly. Just embrace being the smaller, less physical team and win a different way instead of trying to match with some doofus like this who keeps getting you in trouble. I hate that part of it. But for the most part, I love Chara. I like Bergeron. I like the guys on the team. I like the coach. I think the GM has a clue. I think they're all pretty good. And like, I like the team. So it bums me out they're about to get their ass swept out of here. But that's what it is. And they're not as good as you or we thought. Like, that's what I would say. But there's that. Bruins coming away tonight at 7. I promise your calls on everything after an update here. It is a reentry Monday, and it is brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, looking to finance a home mortgage or maybe a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848 here.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, to your phones, as promised, the Brady Belichick stuff, Bruins, whatever you want. It's reentry Monday. Randy in the car, Bruins failure. Who do you blame?
I blame Don Sweeney. And Murray, you hit that topic earlier, and I'm going to elaborate on it. Failure to draft players, Stanika's garbage, Zaboral's not playing well. The fact that we missed out on Barzal, it shows it all. Bergeron and Krejci are getting older. They're almost in their mid-30s. And the fact that we're relying on them because our depth pieces that we've gotten, including Nick Ritchie, is not going to help us out. And I know we're going to lose the series tonight, but the next season, I don't even see the Bruins sniffing at the Eastern Conference Finals because we don't have a depth goalie that we can use. Because what if this happens again and Tuukka Rask is gone? Who are we going to trust? Vladar? It's just not good. It's not looking good in the future, and I blame it all on Don Sweeney.
Okay, so I don't agree with that second statement. I think you're fine. I don't think, you know, I don't think you're going to the bottom of the league. I don't think you have to blow the thing up. I think you're a playoff team for the next couple of years. Let's see how the drafts have gone. But if you're telling me the gap between you and Tampa is the drafting, yeah, it's a it's a gap between Tampa and everybody, FYI. Okay, so Braden Point was a third-round draft pick, so everyone passed on the guy twice. So you could say that about every team, but doesn't make it wrong. I've also heard, you know, the deadline. You know, that Tampa crushed the deadline with Goodrow and Coleman, and they did. Do you know what they gave up for those guys?
Like fourth-rounders? Third-rounders?
Total of 3 first-round picks.
Oh.
Ooh.
They gave up a first. They gave up to get Coleman and Goodrow. They gave up their 2019 first-round pick, who was already in the system. It was a player they drafted in the first round last year. A 20 first-round pick and a 21 first-round pick.
Ooh.
They gave up 3. So people say, well, look at what Tampa did at the deadline. Look at what you did. Yeah, they gave up 3 first-round picks.
Well, if they go on to win the cup, it's worth it.
Absolutely it is. Of course it is. But I'm just saying, like that.
No, it's a very high price, but do you also trust Don Sweeney to draft?
I think he's been okay. I think not as good as Tampa. No one's been as good as Tampa. So, I mean, but I think he's certainly been, I think it's been an improvement. I think he's been better. But they you know, they still have some things to prove. So they need a couple more guys to pan out. They do. But I think McAvoy was a good pick. Carlo was theirs, right? I think that was a good pick. We'll say, you know, they could use a forward or two to pan up beyond DeBrusque. Who, can I just say parenthetically why I'm on him real quick? That kid has no hockey sense. The guy has no hockey sense. He doesn't know when to pass. He doesn't know when to shoot. How many times has he come down the wing and he's got somebody, but he can't see him because he just doesn't have the vision? Or he waits too long to shoot the puck and it gets deflected up into the seats. Like, he just has no hockey sense. He's got decent wheels and is, in terms of finish, like average to just below average. He's not really a top six guy.
Well, he'll go to the front of the net, right? I mean, that's how he gets his goals for the most part.
Decent wheels, but he has no hockey sense.
Check out his assists.
He doesn't have any.
Right, exactly.
Because he doesn't see or feel the game.
Correct.
He doesn't.
Draft, though, you know, long term.
It's a killer.
It's a killer.
There are so many good players there on the board. So many good players on the board.
And they had 3 picks, and they got DeBrusque.
It's a killer. We Chris in the car on Belichick. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, 2 things, guys. First, Bruins are done, and you only blame Rask. The second he left, the cup chance was over. And then a question for you guys. I know you think Belichick pumping up Newton is all kind of like shade to Brady. Do you think when Newton got his really cheap deal, Belichick, that he knew that he wasn't keeping him after this year, whether he's good or bad? I'll pump you up to everybody else in the team.
Yes.
Get you a great contract next year.
Chris,
contract next year?
I'm glad you brought up the contract. Bill's getting him for a song. He's getting him for a cheap, ridiculous deal, and he knows it. So he's going to be nice to him. If Cam were making $20 million, he'd be busting his balls. You're costing me what? But since he's costing him peanuts and he knows it, he's taking advantage of him, basically, Bill's got to be nice to him on everything else. I do think that's a part of it.
Oh, there's no question it is. Like, he was all over Adelius Thomas at the beginning. Remember, he gave him a big payday and he was all over him. And the other thing is, with Cam, you know, there's some quid pro quo there. We'll help you rebuild your stock. Right? That's what the whole idea is. The caller's right.
But the in early, out late, I think, is definitely related to Brady, who stopped coming in early and stopped staying late and stopped putting in the same work that he did. And I think that I think Murray's right about that part.
Totally.
Of it. Harry in Swansea, what do you think, Harry?
Yeah, what do I think? First of all, I just got to say, well, the Bruins, forget about it because of the goaltending we have. It's obvious. But as far as the Patriots are concerned, Belichick and Brady, the bottom line is, bottom line is this, Felga. I was talking about the inflator when I was talking to your screener. How come the NFL hasn't brought up charges against the Green Bay Packers?
We're still going to do this, Harry? We're still going to do this?
Oh, God.
Well, you brought up the Wells before.
I did? Oh, did I? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Did you, Felga? Did you bring up the Wells report?
You were doing it, Harry. Where's the tell-all book on what really happened to the Patriots and the deflating the balls? Oh, I know. It's already been written. It's all in the Wells report. It's all true. It's all true. That's why there's been no new stories coming out about it, because there's nothing new to tell. Wells had it. I know it's a tough pill to swallow, but he had it. He had it right. Sorry. Sorry about that. Josh on the Cape. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, so I'm not trying to be a blah caller because I really don't want to be that. And I do agree with you that Belichick and Brady didn't like each other at the end, but I just found it kind of interesting where you cut off that current article, because while I do think they didn't like each other, I don't think it was as dramatic as you guys like to kind of make it seem sometimes. That's all.
Well, Curran did
Josh,
say...
Josh, the quarterback walked into the owner's house and asked him to let him out of the contract.
No, his wife did, as he as he sat there. No, Tom says they did patch it up over the last couple of years, and their relationship improved over the last couple of years.
But even so, the point is he wanted to get out.
He's in Tampa! He's in Tampa! He's in Tampa! And you're still going to play this game? I don't care how much they patched it up. It couldn't have been that much, because he went to effing Tampa Bay. Do you know what a joke that is? That he chose Tampa over you? What does that say? You think they still love each other? If he loved each other, he wouldn't be in the anus of America right now. For the worst organization, the losingest organization in all of sports. Fact. He went to one of the worst brands, losingest team in all of sports, and in anus in this country, Tampa.
Colon.
They went to the colon of America to get out of here. And you think they were great with each other? Why do you still fight this fight? He's in Tampa. It's the story's over. He's in Tampa.
No, it's not as dramatic as you make it out to be.
Oh, my God. It's more dramatic than I make it out to be.
I mean, I'm telling you, some of the details that they went, they had a second meeting. Giselle and Tom, sorry, I left her out the first time. Giselle and Tom had a second meeting with Kraft and left without saying a word. Oh, my God. How much more dramatic does it get than that?
Oh, you poor people with the deflated footballs. Yeah, the day after that, I think it was the Jets game where Tom played poorly. Jastrzemski texts the Birdman, the guy who was alone with the footballs in the officials room, every game. Tom's acting crazy about the balls, he says. Ready to vomit. He's saying they're not good enough, says the Birdman. Jastrzemski says, he'll tell you later. Birdman texts back, Tom sucks. I'm going to make that next ball a effing balloon. Jastrzemski texts back, I talked to him last night. He actually brought you up, said you must have a lot of stress trying to get them done.
This is going
to
give me PTSD.
How come all these tell-all books aren't setting the record straight on Deflategate? Oh, I know, because the record's already been set straight. It's called the Wells Report. Hi, Kevin in Boston. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to argue with the fact that he still did better, I thought, after the whole report.
True. They went through all that cheating and he didn't need it. That's another tragic piece to it. He didn't need it. He could have fully inflated footballs, and he's just the same guy. He didn't need to go through all that. He didn't need to have the Birdman grab the balls and run into the bathroom and stick a needle into him.
Right. It was about superstition and comfort. That's all it was.
Crazy. Agreed. You look back and say, what are you doing? 4 games, tarnishing your reputation, going through all of this? You know how much legal fees the Wells Report and context costed for a complete set of lies? When the truth was right here in the Wells Report, cost you nothing. You just had to admit the thing. Oh, all these tell-all books. How come I'm not getting the real story on Deflategate? Jim in North Attleboro.
Hey, I was a guy. Quick thing on the Bruins. I think their chance was to win it last year. They definitely lost that series in Game 3 when that whole thing went. But I wanted to talk about Brady, if you thought he would ever admit to actually deflating the footballs.
Well, he might. Maybe he might. I mean, I tend to doubt it, quote-unquote. But wink and a nod? I don't know. I don't know, maybe in time it'll be treated properly. Just little hairy high school gamesmanship. Every freaking high school quarterback dinks around with his football. Like, it's just the oldest little trick in the book. He couldn't admit it at the time. It blows me away. The thing about, what was the first thing that he said?
Bruins.
What about him?
Wasn't it?
I don't remember. What did he say about the Bruins? I don't remember. I was writing something down. I don't remember.
What were you writing down?
Oh, that they had the chance to win last year.
Yes. It's so true. Yeah, 100% true.
Oh, that is absolutely
true. Sorry, thank you. Yes, 1,000%. You didn't have this Tampa team in front of you. You didn't have that Washington team in front of you. And it's odd because Washington and Tampa have shown the proclivity to choke against everybody else except for you. They own your ass, those two teams, Tampa and Washington. They're confident against you. I don't know why, but they are. And, you know, Tampa, there's no excuse for Tampa losing to anyone with that kind of talent. But they just might because other teams get to them. You can't for some reason. You can't get to that Tampa team. You can't. You would have been the same thing if it were the Capitals. You're getting porked by the Capitals, too.
I mean, that team, this incarnation of that team, Tampa, needs a cup. They need a cup. There's pressure on them to win. I don't care whether COVID or not. Like, after all they've invested in that team, you're going to give up all those draft picks on top of it, and you're not going to win?
Our guy Tommy and Lynn, every time he calls, he says he likes the Bruins. He thinks they're going to be all right. Tommy, do you think the Bruins are still going to be all right?
I don't know, Felder. I don't know, man. It's 50-50 tonight.
50-50. You know what? I'll give you 90-10.
Yeah, and I have a Celtics minute, too. I think the Celtics could go either further than the Bruins. How about that?
Oh, I think they're guaranteed to.
Boy, that's a gamble.
I think they're guaranteed. I think they're going to make game five against this Toronto team. Call me crazy.
Like, seriously? The Celtics are going to go farther than the Bruins? Jeez, what could possibly make you think that? Like, I'd say it's pretty much a lock at this stage. Wow.
Larry and Southie, who do you blame?
I blame Tuukka on this one. I think Tuukka, if Tuukka was in net, this is at least 2-2. We might even be up 3-1.
I don't feel that way, but you know, you really can't reconstruct it because Maz is right. You know, so what? Like the counter to the Rask thing is that, well, they've only scored once in the last two games. So is Rask going to pitch shutouts in the last two games and going to win 1-0, 1-0? I don't think Rask is doing that, but you can't really, that's really not fair because let's say you keep it a 2-1 game versus a 4-1 game. And the next thing you know, you get lucky and now you're 2-2 and the whole tenor of the game's different. Like, I understand that, you know,
I just think it's all connected is point. It's all connected. And once your goalie starts cutting the legs out from under you, forget it. It's over.
I mean, say what you will about Rask. He almost never has to get pulled. I mean, I can't remember. He never gets shelled.
Very rare.
You know,
didn't it happen to him in Vancouver this year?
It's happened in the regular season. I don't think he's ever had to get pulled from a playoff game.
Yeah, it's rare. He's just so sound, right? I mean, maybe he doesn't give you the great save or the big save when you want it.
He usually makes the ones he should make.
But he doesn't miss that one Halak missed the other night.
Yes, you don't miss the one Halak missed the other night.
Murray doesn't.
The freaking frisbee.
After smoking.
I'm more dialed in. Who are you kidding?
That was a beach ball. So, again, game five comes your way tonight here on 98.5 The Sports. Pre-game at 6:30. Puck drop at 7. Next comes the final word here on Felger and Mass.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here for Cambridge.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Maybe nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
So it was MLB trade deadline today. Came and went 4 o'clock. And leading into it, there was a lot of speculation whether or not the Red Sox would be trading Jackie Bradley Jr., which led to this call from James in Dorchester. Really, it might be the call of the year, in my
this
opinion.
This is great.
James in Dorchester on Jackie Bradley. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm an African-American. I can say, honestly, that what Brazier said didn't bother me and what Pilar said didn't bother me. What offended me the most is reports that they're inclined to keep Jackie Bradley after the trade deadline. It makes no sense to keep him. I mean, this guy sucks. He hits 190 for 70% of the year. You have a kid in Duran who's a speedy kid who can play center field in your minor league system. He's actually starting for Power in the past year. So you have someone in the system, and he's going to be a free agent. There's no reason to keep him here past the deadline. It makes absolutely no sense. The only thing I can think of is because he's black. I mean, and I don't want them doing business that way. I mean, I don't care if it's, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King. If he's playing center field and he's batting 190, he's got to go. It makes no sense to keep him here.
James, thanks for the call. Seriously, this is heavy racial discussion. Brazier, Pilar. I'm not offended by that. I'm offended by Jackie Bradley's batting average.
Great. I'm offended that the deadline went by and he's still here.
He is still here.
Wow.
And will be a free agent, too. That's just bad business. And as we wrap, we have this as well.
I know what this is.
Well, as it turns out, if you weren't listening to the Celtics broadcast, Maz had something to say to Sean Grandy during the game.
What?
Norman Powell just has been out there now and banging guys around. And Jalen, just take what the defense gives you.
Tony Maserati just texted me to ask what time the game was, which means how many times do we have to say it on Tuesday? Now I have to go over it one more time for Tony Maz. It's likely a 5:30 game on Tuesday. He just wants the day off from work.
Yeah. You text Grandy during the broadcast?
This is true. I heard him say the Celtics will either be at 3 o'clock or 5:30, and I went, ooh. Where did he see that? I haven't seen that yet. Hold on. 3 o'clock means we're done for the day. Then I thought, no, wait a minute. 3 o'clock means I might actually have to stay.
30-minute show.
Do a half hour and then stay for the baseball reporter.
That would have been a porking.
So I was hoping for 5:30. I think that's what we got.
Yeah. You got it. So we're off tomorrow at 5, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So Celtics tomorrow, Bruins tonight, but we have a little half hour with baseball reporters, right?
We do. Trade deadline Monday. It's only a half hour show. We'll take you into Bruins pregame, but we'll go over the trade deadline. There was a significant one for the Red Sox over the weekend that I want to touch on because a player who I changed my opinion on. Also, I think the trade deadline today in terms of the comings and goings told us something about someone on the Red Sox roster that many people regard as a significant piece who remains in Boston. I'll tell you who that is and what the real news is.
Okay. So I'm going to admit
circumspect enough for you?
Yeah, no, that's coming up next. I just want to say in closing, I admit a tell-all book comes out on Brady and Belichick and I pull out the Wells report. It's a dick move. I couldn't help it. I can't guarantee that won't happen again because it probably will. What else is in this book? Do they even go into it? Do we even know?
No. I mean, the only excerpts we've seen is what Curran wrote today and what was in the New York Post yesterday, but it drops tomorrow.
So Curran has the book. Like, Zoe has the book. People have the book. The book's out. So if there was...
Zoe's not going to read that. No, why didn't you just leave it for us?
You're right, Zoe. You should stick with the audio on tape, but you probably wouldn't listen to that either.
The best stuff's always in the excerpt.
The only book Zoe reads are Scratch and Sniffs. So, right is using that. But anyway... I can't say that I'm going to pull out the Wells report in context or the Wells report again, although I might. We'll have more in the book is what I'm trying to say tomorrow. Also, Bruins reaction after they get blown out again tonight. Enjoy the game, everybody. Enjoy the baseball reporters. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too.
Bye.
See ya.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit HouseOfPossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's HouseOfPossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.